The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
This edition of Sunday Night's Main Event is dedicated to the memory of Matt Capitelli.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
Look, I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but boy, is it exciting!
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
LeBron signs with the Lakers. Tavares signs with the Leafs. But now, where will Brock go? Happy Canada Day and welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event. I'm your host, Jason Agnew, and I've got 2 hours of pro wrestling and MMA chatter coming at ya. Tonight, we've got a very Canadian triple threat segment. Returning to the show, former WWE referee and one of the hosts of Aftermath on Sportsnet, Jimmy Corderas. And joining him, making his debut on the show, hailing from Calgary, dramatic pause, Alberta, Canada, Lance Storm will be with us. Plus, turnbuckle trivia and your phone calls this week at 1-866-729-2562. Write it down. It's 1-866-729-2562. On Twitter, it's at SNME Radio. And on Facebook, just search SNME Radio and join the group. But let's kick it off and get you all caught up with the happenings of this week in the Squared Circle.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Well, once again, we have to start things off on a sad note this week as Tough Enough Season 3 co-winner and former OVW developmental talent Matt Capitelli passed away after a lengthy battle with brain cancer. Capitelli was first diagnosed with brain cancer in 2005, which led to the end of his in-ring career. He had a second surgery earlier this year in which doctors were able to remove 90% of his tumor. However, the remaining 10% was too close to the brainstem for doctors to take out and was very resistant to chemotherapy. Sadly, he lost his battle with cancer on Friday morning. Capitelli's wife announced his passing on Facebook on Friday. He was 38 years old. Capitelli was universally liked in the industry, and we'll speak with Lance Storm about Capitelli later in the show, as Lance worked with him on Tough Enough and in OVW. In what could turn into the biggest story of the week, the National Labor Relations Board has ruled that the claims by Leslie Smith have merit and will be filing a claim against UFC that the fighters are not independent contractors and are actually employees. Obviously, this has ramifications not only for UFC fighters, but also for the WWE, as WWE wrestlers are currently considered independent contractors despite all that is expected of them. I'll chat with Dave Meltzer about these proceedings and the ramifications of them in the second hour of tonight's show. On Tuesday, the WWE formally announced that the TV deals that we and all their stockholders already knew about, SmackDown's going to be moving to Fox in October of 2019, while Raw will remain on the USA Network. Now, the reason why we didn't get the advertised Nakamura versus Jeff Hardy U.S. title match on SmackDown is because Nakamura was legitimately not medically cleared to work the show after being bitten by a dog on Tuesday morning. Now, the incident happened at the arena when the bomb squad showed up the morning of, and one of the dogs decided to bite Nakamura in the leg. The match is now scheduled for Extreme Rules, providing Nakamura is cleared by then. Now, of note, WWE had a couple of house shows in Japan this weekend, and despite originally being scheduled in the main event, Nakamura did appear at the shows, but was unable to work a match. Now, in case you fast-forwarded through Naomi's segment on SmackDown, and be glad you did, some of the cast of GLOW were on the show to promote the fact that GLOW Season 2 is now available on Netflix. It went up on Friday. Let's hope the show is better than the segment with Lana, Naomi, and Chief Shill, Alison Brie. In this week's WWE More Is More story, well, the philosophy that I always talk about has now made its way down to the world of NXT as takeover shows are permanently being moved up an hour to start at 7 p.m. Eastern on their Saturday nights. And I'm not sure if this is going to happen for the SummerSlam Brooklyn show, but it has been confirmed for the November show in Los Angeles. Apparently, the goal is not to make the shows longer, but just to start earlier. However, that is exactly what was said about the WWE co-branded pay-per-views, and last month's show ran 45 minutes over what the company promised and projected. More is more, baby. Io Shirai made an appearance at the WWE house show at Sumo Hall in Japan and announced that she signed with the company and will be starting in NXT this summer. Hideo Itami will be making an appearance for Pro Wrestling Noah. Now, Itami will be facing Mara Fuji in the main event of Mara Fuji's 20th anniversary event at Sumo Hall in Tokyo on September the 1st. Of note, he will be using the name Hideo Itami and not be reverting to Kenta, which, of course, was the name he used while working in Japan. Itami is still under WWE contract, but clearly, WWE and Noah have put in place a working agreement for this talent share. Also of note, this is probably the first time Itami has ever felt like a main event priority since leaving Japan. A couple former Impact stars were spotted at the WWE Performance Center this week trying out for WWE. Both Chelsea Green, that's Laurel Van Ness, and Robert Strauss, a.k.a. Robbie E., were doing drills and included in a video that WWE posted from the tryouts. This past Monday, Impact Wrestling announced that Eli Drake signed a new multi-year deal with the company, though that puts to bed all the rumors of him following EC3 over to NXT. Ring of Honor has a brand new champion, but it may not be who you think or when you thought it was going to happen. You see, after Dalton Castle successfully defended his title versus Cody and Marty Scurll on Friday night's Best in the World pay-per-view, Castle was then involved in a four-way match at the TV tapings the following night with Cody, Matt Taven, and Jay Lethal in Fairfax, Virginia. And in a surprise ending, Jay Lethal pinned Dalton Castle and once again walked away with the Ring of Honor Championship. Really, it's quite an unfortunate championship run for Dalton Castle, as he was continually injured throughout, and it could easily be seen that he was hurt working both of this weekend's matches. A few MMA notes here. Bellator MMA announced a restructuring and new deal for broadcast. The company will pull back on their schedule to do 22 events a year, with 15 airing on Paramount Network and 7 exclusively moving to DAZN. It's a streaming service spelled DAZN. It's aimed at sports fans, not yet launched in the U.S. The deal kicks off on September 29th with the much-discussed Gegard Mousasi versus Rory McDonald San Jose event that will also feature Rampage Jackson versus Wanderlei Silva 4. The show will air exclusively on DAZN. In UFC land, Rashad Evans officially announced his retirement on Ariel Helwani's show. And in more retirement news, Johnny Hendricks has also called it a career. That second one, definitely for the better. And don't forget, next Saturday night is UFC 226, featuring the main event of Daniel Cormier versus Stipe Miocic, which could have Brock Lesnar ramifications, as Cormier stated this week he would like to face Brock Lesnar and Jon Jones before retiring. There you have it, a shorter news pack this week, because we want to get to your phone calls, and the lines are now open. 1-866-729-2562 is the number to call. And we've got lots to go. We'll talk about what happened on TV this week and what won't be happening at the pay-per-view. It's Sunday night's main event, and you're listening to it on TSN Radio. I wonder how you're feeling. Wrestling fans, Jason Agnew here, and for nearly 20 years, I've hosted a wrestling radio show. But after feeling the impact of Impact and the law being broken, I wanted to let you know this new show is crowdfunded. So if you like it, feel free to click on the patron link at SundayNightsMainEvent.com. Contributions start for as little as $2 a month and give you access to our bonus patron-only podcasts. For all the details, visit SundayNightsMainEvent.com.
This show is live. We're broadcasting audio, and we're talking about wrestling. How about that? This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Brock does whatever he wants. He don't care. He shows up If the money's right, he'll show up. He doesn't care about any of us. He doesn't respect you, Kurt. He don't respect me. He doesn't respect you. He doesn't respect anybody here, anyone in the back, or anyone watching at home. As a matter of fact, Brock Lesnar does not give a
We know how you feel, Roman.
And it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Yeah, history repeating is definitely what it is. That is your program that is no longer a multi-person match at Extreme Rules, apparently. Now, I suppose we're getting Lashley and Reigns. That promo was so weird because it's like, Lashley, you're not doing anything tonight. I'm not doing anything tonight. Well, how about this? They said we're not doing anything Extreme Rules, so let's have a match tonight. It was such a bizarre promo. Here's something that dawned on me this week watching Raw. By the way, welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. Jason Agnew here with you. So I'm sitting there watching Raw, and I want you to tell me what these six things have in common. A Kurt Angle promo in the ring to discuss the Lesnar situation, which was interrupted by Reigns and Lashley, resulting in a match of Reigns and Lashley versus The Revival. Okay, that's number one. Number two, Seth Rollins versus Dolph Ziggler for the IC title. Number three, the B team doing a video parody of Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy. Number four, Mojo Rawley versus No Way Jose. Number five, Braun Strowman, Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, and Constable Corbin involved in a tag match. So there you go. That's five things. So not six things. Five things. What do they all have in common? They all happened 2 weeks in a row. I could have said that exact same lineup for last week's Raw. And I was sitting there going, this all is so familiar because I just watched it last week. It really hit me this week. It's the number one problem on WWE programming above all the other booking decisions. And some of the decisions are actually due to this problem. Too much television time. I know I initially just made fun of the more is more hashtag that I use. But when you see things like this, five pretty much identical segments to what happened last week, it really, really just stuck out for me this week on television. Want to get in on it? 1-866-729-2562 is the number to call. And we shall go to the phones. And yes, indeed, we didn't hear from him last week. So, Hanzi, you're first this week. Let's do it. We got the pot. There you are. Sorry, there you are, Hanzi.
Hello, that's cool. Yo, what's up, man?
Just chatting wrestling as we do each and every Sunday night. What you got for me this week?
Well, first of all, before I get into Raw, I wanted to get your opinion. Have you seen Glow yet? Or
no. I got a trip coming up next weekend. I want to save it, and I want to watch the whole thing next weekend, back to back to back. Have you seen it? What do you think? I love season one.
Season one was good. I just started season two.
Yeah,
I'm like two episodes in. So far, I like the dynamic. I think you will dig it because like it kind of ups the stakes a little bit more in the drama sense. So I think you'll really dig it. It's been pretty good so far. So.
Well, I mean, Hanzi, you know I love Mark Maron. He's a bitter and jaded jerk, and I can relate.
I love Mark Maron too, man. He's like one of my favorite comedians, man. But about Raw and SmackDown, I'll say this: as much as the repeated segment happened with Lashley and Reigns,
yeah,
I'm at least glad that I know it is the Revival has been booked like crap. I'm hoping that this could be something that the heel team hangs themselves on. Like,
yeah,
oh, we beat Roman Reigns. They can keep gloating about this and be annoying about it.
I agree. But,
what I want is your opinion on this, though, because this is what I felt with the Team Hell No reunion. And I'll admit, I at first hated the idea of it, but when they actually hugged, I actually popped a little bit. I'm like, okay, this is pretty good. But do you think like they're kind of like giving Daniel Bryan these nothing storylines in hopes that he signs back with the company? Or
Whoa, wait, Hanzi, what do you mean by that? They're giving him nothing storylines so he re-signs?
For example,
that's
like,
an opposite mentality.
Storyline right away.
I don't think so. No, I can't see that. I think that's an opposite mentality to what a lot of people would think. I mean, if they wanted Daniel Bryan to resign, which let's be honest here, they want Daniel Bryan to resign because they don't want Daniel Bryan going out on the indies, creating another all-in. Could you imagine what Daniel Bryan and Cody Rhodes could do together? We talk about that Madison Square Garden match. That fills it. That fills the garden. Now, granted, I didn't get the chance to talk about it last week, but apparently Ring of Honor will not be in Madison Square Garden due to a couple conversations that WWE decided to have with Ring of Honor. Decided to have with Madison Square Garden, just suggesting that maybe they shouldn't have any other wrestling company in there. But I'm telling you, Daniel Bryan and Cody Rhodes fills MSG. No question about it. On WrestleMania weekend, that's a hotter ticket than, for the hardcore fans, probably than anything the WWE can offer. I mean, what are they going to offer this year? Ronda and Charlotte? We saw Ronda debut last year. That's a fresh, fun match with a great feel to it. And if WWE, they want to keep Daniel Bryan, and I can't see that theory of, oh, we're going to give him mid-card storylines now, so he sticks around, and then he wants to do more later. I think that's actually a bit of an opposite mentality. We're going to take more of your phone calls in a bit at 1-866-729-2562. But what we're going to do next, it's Canada Day. So let's celebrate it with an all-Canadian triple threat. We'll talk about some great Canadian wrestlers and more of the news of the week as we chat with Lance Storm and Jimmy Corderas. Coming up next right here, it's Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio. Each week on Sunday Night's Main Event, our Turnbuckle Trivia winner receives a t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com. Well, now that t-shirt could be one of ours. Visit ProWrestlingTees.com/SNMEradio and get your official Sunday Night's Main Event t-shirt. It's got that nifty 80s parody logo and comes in your choice of white or black. Because unlike modern day wrestling, I prefer not to endorse shades of gray. Get your t-shirt today at ProWrestlingTees.com/SNMEradio.
Is the triple threat.
There's gonna be a triple threat.
Triple threat.
Triple threat match.
On Sunday Night's Main Event.
It is triple threat time here on Sunday Night's Main Event, and the two guests on the line this week. First of all, a regular here on the show, I guess we could now call him, and you can see him on Sportsnet on Aftermath. Jimmy Corderas, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me back on a lovely Canada Day.
Indeed, yes, and it's an all-Canadian triple threat today because I'm very pleased to be joined for the first time on the triple threat. ECW, WCW, WWE, wrestler now training all of wrestling's future stars is how I'm putting this at Storm Wrestling Academy in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Lance Storm, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Good to be on the new show, although I don't know if I can handle the pressure of having to train all of the new stars.
All of them, Lance. They are all sent your way, and they're all being trained by you. But first of all, actually, unfortunately, I want to start here on a bit of a sad note, and that is the passing of Matt Capitelli. Lance, you worked with Matt and have put out a statement of he's just was a tremendous guy, and it would be hard to find a nicer guy in the industry. Just a little bit about how you first met Matt and working with him.
I first met Matt when he was on Tough Enough. I actually did a guest training spot on the show that got edited off. Apparently I taught too much wrestling and wasn't entertaining enough. They edited me off the show, but I met him there and then taught him for, I guess, about a year and a half, my whole run in developmental when I was teaching in OVW. And he was just the most upbeat, nicest guy. No matter what happened, he wouldn't say a bad word about anybody. I know before Joey Mercury got signed to do the M&M run, it's like he was having a hard time and Cap let him live on his couch for a while. Like Cap would do anything for anybody. And, you know, he missed so many opportunities to get called up. You know, everyone knows about the brain cancer that, you know, pretty much ended his career. But he was scheduled to get brought up. If you remember when Jacqueline won the Cruiserweight title, that was going to be Matt Capitelli's debut. And he got a concussion from an Alabama slam on the house show loops that weekend and didn't get called up.
Oh.
And he was going to get called up another time. I think actually he was going to debuting with Miz as a babyface tag team. And he took a bad suplex on a house show the week before and broke his leg. And at no point did he ever complain. Did he ever get down? He was just the most upbeat guy in the world. And then when he got the, he took a chair shot in OVW and they sent him for a CT scan just to make sure he was okay. And they found the brain tumor. And even then, he just, he kept his positive outlook. He just moved forward. He was just, you could not get that guy down. He was such a fighter and just such a wonderful human being.
Definitely sad to hear about his passing, but I mean, appreciate the insight there, Lance. And he's just one of those, it's always even harder to see one of the good guys pass and never catch that break.
Yeah, you know, the old expression, only the good die young. It's like, well, he absolutely most definitely was.
Well, we appreciate your comments on that. And being Canada Day and having Jimmy here and yourself here as well, I wanted to start talking about Canadian wrestlers. And I mean, everyone thinks of Canadian wrestlers. They think of you, of course. So present company excluded. And let's exclude Bret Hart from this as well, because he's the person that you always think about when you think Canadian wrestlers. But other than that, so let's go, you know, who would be, other than Bret, the greatest Canadian wrestler of all time? What would you say there, Jimmy?
Oh, there's a, excuse me, there's a huge list of people. I mean, you can obviously look at someone like Edge, you know, storied career, unfortunately cut short due to the injury. Look at Chris Jericho, who's still going. But it's kind of funny, even though Chris grew up in Winnipeg, technically born in the United States, but his dad is Canadian, I guess it counts.
Yeah, because he's playing for the Rangers at the time.
Yeah, so we've adopted him. But if we go by that logic, you can actually maybe include someone like The Rock, because, you know, Rocky Johnson was born in Nova Scotia.
Rock is a dual citizen as well. Lance, what other names would you throw into the mix here?
Yeah, I don't want to say greatest, but just some of the amazing ones. Like, Rick Martel, I think, gets overlooked so much.
Mm-hmm.
That guy was so amazing. And even just some of them odder ones. It's like Abdullah Butcher was Canadian.
Windsor, right? Yeah. He's still with us. And yeah, he was in Windsor. And I think a lot of people forget the fact that Roddy Piper is also a Canadian, even though he's always been pushed, you know, with the kayfabe from Scotland.
There's so many amazing Canadians that have come through and been here. It's amazing.
Yeah, I don't mean to interrupt, but we can't forget the King of Hearts, Owen Hart, as well, because, you know, a lot of people would say maybe technically better than Bret. I don't know. It's debatable. It's always subjective. But, man, he was so good. And he was like, he reminded me so much in that era with the Dynamite Kid of guys who were like ahead of their time.
For sure. Now, in regards to this question, where do you put someone like Kenny Omega? I mean, after what he's done in the past few years, but not having the WWE run, a lot of people just pass by Kenny still when this question is asked. But should he not be talked about within all of these other great names that we've been speaking of?
I think you just need to give him more time. I think because he's so young that you don't throw him in that group yet. And it's just a 10-year thing. It's like he's been amazing, and everybody's, you know, he's on everybody's radar for a couple of years now. But I think, especially when you know, started this with, you know, the all-time great Canadians, I think he just needs more time. I don't think he necessarily needs a WWE run to be put in that mix, and I think he'll make that mix. I think people just like to wait and see the bulk of their career first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. Time will tell. Obviously, he's had a great run in the last, especially the last 2 years. You know, phenomenal matches that he's been having and raising the bar almost constantly with every match that he's had. I keep thinking about Canadians, and I keep coming up with the name Leo Burke when you think about great Canadian talents who are underrated and not discussed enough. Leo Burke comes to mind, you know. I'm just, again, more names just keep popping in.
There's a whole bunch of different names we've had. We'll have a bunch of listeners tonight throwing out names as well. Let's switch from there to talking about, you know, this week's WWE TV. Bayley finally turning on Sasha. I'm just going to throw this out. We'll start with Lance. There's much discussion of who is the heel in this program. Lance, who do you think is or will be the heel in this program?
I think Bayley is supposed to be. But I think, unfortunately, the audience was just so happy for the trigger finally being pulled that they reacted very favorably to her. I believe she's supposed to be. I don't know if that'll be the end result or not.
Jimmy, do you think this can work? Do you think there's hope for this feud? Reason being, it's been so long, and it's gone back and forth and back and forth. I mean, the crowd did bite into the turn, but maybe it wasn't even the right person to be perceived as the heel. Do you think this has legs in on the main roster?
I obviously, being a glass half full guy, I hope it does. It's just that sometimes I don't want to pin this entirely on the audience because it's not always their fault. But at the same time, they absorb stuff now differently. That suspension of disbelief goes. They don't have it anymore. It's almost like they are more critiquing as opposed to sitting back and trying to absorb what they're watching. So, like Lance said, they pop huge for the snap that Bailey had and went off on Sasha. It's almost more difficult today to be a heel because you don't get the desired reaction. You don't get the boos that you want like a traditional heel gets. And it almost seems like the more heinous you are as a heel, the more people seem to like you. And to me, it's just, I still don't get it. Maybe I'm just living in the past. I don't know.
Well, for the Bailey character, it seems so strange to me because we've all followed her along, watching her in NXT, and she was such a different style of character than anyone else down there. So lovable, such a great babyface, appeal to an audience that we really hadn't seen with the very young girl audience. Anyone really appealed to that. Lance, where did they go wrong with Bailey on the main roster? Because obviously she does not stand out anymore.
I think the big moment for me, and I suspect for many others, was when she won the title. I don't remember the exact finish, but there was something controversial about it. I think Sasha actually helped her behind her back. And Steph did that promo saying, you didn't win it deservingly, you should give the title back. And Bailey did the promo saying, you're right, I don't deserve it, but I'm keeping it anyway.
Mm.
And for me, that was the moment that Bailey lost her innocence. I think she should have given it back and cut the promo saying, I don't want Izzy looking at me wondering if I truly deserve this. I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to give it back. Now, with that being said, she has to then win it clean on her own, straight up. But I think that's when Bailey lost her innocence, and I think that's what made her different.
I do find it funny. I think it was very close to right after that, there was a picture of Izzy that was passed around dressed like Sasha Banks. So even Izzy turned on Bailey when that promo was cut. Another person that has just been, I mean, forced down our throats on the main roster is, of course, Roman Reigns. I think all fans feel like we're riding a stationary bike in regards to this Reigns and Lesnar feud. We've seen it for 3 years. The fans have rejected it for 3 years. At this point, looking down the line with the Lesnar potential return, but maybe not at SummerSlam anymore, can anything, and Jimmy, I'll throw this at you first, can anything good come about from Reigns and Lesnar again?
Again, looking at this from a glass half full, if it does end up with the Universal Championship on Roman Reigns, at least the title will be seen on television more frequently. At first, I was a big fan of having it infrequently with Brock Lesnar, you know, made it feel more special, made Brock Lesnar is an attraction and shouldn't be on TV every week, but it's gotten old and not having him at all has really hurt the profile and the title itself. So in that respect, it makes sense, but at the same time, the fans who are just digging in their heels and won't even, you know, give it a chance. I don't know what you do with this thing because, you know, the reaction he's going to get is going to be a negative one from the most vocal. So I like the fact that maybe bringing the title back and having it more presented on television, I like that idea. Just, I don't know, maybe they have to look elsewhere. Maybe they have to look at a Seth Rollins or somebody like that.
Lance, does it bother you with no title on TV for such an extreme amount of time?
I'm in the same boat with Jimmy. I think it worked for a while, but the infrequency has gotten so infrequent that I think it's the point that they need to bring that championship back. I think it worked really well for a while, but I think it's time to bring it back and have it on more regularly. I'm not convinced Roman is the answer to that. I think, unfortunately, both Vince and the fans have gotten too stubborn, and both sides have dug in their heels, and no one's winning. I think if either side could give even just half a measure, the show would be more enjoyable. Roman is a talented guy that busts his hump. You know, the crowd doesn't need to crap on him 24/7, and maybe Vince doesn't need to stay the course 100%. I think there's some middle ground there that could work. But yeah, I think the title needs to come back to the show on a regular basis. The Brock Lesnar infrequency, I think, has run its course.
I mean, I also agree with you in the fact that, you know, Roman is a talented guy. He's just the way that he's been presented has really, the fans have just completely against it. And the digging in the heels is a good analogy. Now, I'm not saying this new guy is the answer, but Bobby Lashley being thrown into this mix, to me, I find it refreshing. I saw Bobby Lashley's Impact run, thought it was excellent, and I was waiting for them to put more emphasis on Lashley as opposed to just making him a mid-carder. I'm not saying he's the answer, but Lance, Bobby Lashley thrown in here, I think he could be a good guy to maybe just spice things up. How do you feel about Bobby working these two?
I'm a big fan of Bobby's. I actually trained him in OVW as well. And, you know, he's an amazing athlete. I think they just need to figure out his personality a bit more like Impact did, to be honest. I thought Impact did a better job with his personality than WWE is currently doing. But he's a great athlete, and he's a fresh face. And I think with his size, a match with him and Lesnar would be very interesting. And someone new for Roman is also great.
I would love to see a mouthpiece here for Lashley, because I think they did a great job with MVP and Impact. Jimmy, I mean, Bobby's someone that you would have known as well. How do you think he's been portrayed in coming back to WWE?
I had high hopes when he came back because, like Lance said, he's an amazing athlete. He's a good guy, too. I really want the best for him, but that first program with Sami Zayn just didn't work for a variety of reasons, because partially, I guess, somebody there in WWE is still a fan of Milton Berle and thinks that dressing up men in dresses is funny and cool. But and him coming out smiling all the time, it almost felt like he was another version of Apollo Crews.
Oh, boy.
You know what I mean? Just
yes.
Coming out smiling. I'm going to insult you, but I'm going to come out and smile anyways. He needed to show that aggression. He's starting to show it now in his interactions with Roman Reigns, and I'm liking that better. I like that idea. Was it you that just mentioned his run in TNA with MVP as his mouthpiece? I think that would be a nice touch if they could bring MVP, if they can coerce him to come back.
It would add that personality that Lance was talking about. You know, one wrestler, one performer that the fans have really been behind is Rusev on the SmackDown side of things. He's finally getting his title shot at AJ Styles at Extreme Rules. Do you think there's any chance of Rusev being more than the flavor of the month for AJ, though, Lance? Or is it just a one and done here?
I think there's always the possibility. You know, everybody talks about how Vince changes his mind. If on that appropriate Sunday, Vince decides, you know what, let's try something, it can happen. And I'm a big fan of Rusev's. He's a really solid performer. He's got personality. And when I watch him, and this is maybe everyone else doesn't see this, but it's like I see a really safe worker that makes me even a bigger fan. It's like this guy to me comes off like a real pro, and I'd be happy if he got a run.
I think it'd be great, and the fans are behind it. Having said that, though, I mean, the Rusev Day chant started a while ago and seem to be teetering down a little bit now. This always reminds me of when Del Rio came in and was super hot and they just waited in before giving Del Rio the title. Do you think, Jimmy, that this is a bit past its prime, even if they do give Rusev the belt here?
It'll get that initial reaction that they were looking for. But I think you might be right. It might be a little bit past its expiration date. I think I'm just worried that it's more this Rusev Day chant and stuff that is more over than Rusev himself. But I agree with Lance. He's very talented. And I'm liking that his personality is coming out and he's showing it. And he's quite likable in that character. But I'm just worried that it's more the Rusev Day thing that's over more than him himself.
Right. So just the chant there as opposed to actually Rusev. Well, we'll see what happens when we do get to Extreme Rules. One thing I wanted to touch on here before we go is Ronda Rousey. She's not on TV right now. She's working the suspension angle. Lance, as a trainer, Here is someone who's had two matches. What do you see both good and bad from Ronda Rousey here?
Well, the good, obviously, is she's very good physically in the ring. You know, you would expect her to be because she's such a great athlete, but wrestling's like no other sport. The possibility of her being really bad was there, but she's not. She's actually really good, probably doing a lot of work for each match, but still she's getting it done. So that's a positive. I think she still has in-between moments where she looks a little glassy-eyed that, you know, when she's not the person involved in the speaking or the action at the time, she doesn't look 100% comfortable with what she's doing, probably because it's not something that's been practiced or worked on because it's not her moment. It's standing in the background of a promo when someone else is talking that I think she's not quite there yet. But considering her experience level, she's doing absolutely fantastic.
I think she's doing great as well. But, Jimmy, do you think it's too much too fast?
Well, you can make that argument, but at the same time, is there a bigger star in the women's division than Ronda Rousey now? She is a certifiable superstar, and maybe too soon for the title, that's for sure. But as Lance said, I think she's progressed really well. My only thing is, and I'm not a trainer by any means, but little things that I notice, I think her selling is much better than I anticipated, because coming from the world of MMA, you sell legit. You know what I mean? You get punched in the face. I think her selling in pro wrestling has been very good. At times, maybe a little bit rushing to kind of get back on her feet. But at the same time, that's the part that impresses me the most, is her ability to sell. And whether it's too soon or not, again, with that star power, I don't know how. You know, I prefer that they would wait a little longer before they thrust her into that high upper level.
Yeah. Well, right now, she's everything that's come at Ronda, she seems to be doing very well with. And I hate to bookend this with another down topic, but last week we saw the passing of Big Van Vader. And Jimmy, there were so many clips that were sent to me, but the one that stood out was when Vader took out Gorilla Monsoon. Yeah. And I had a few people point out the referee standing in the ring for that match was you.
Yes.
Of course, you crossed paths with Vader. You were in there in the ring with him. Just memories of Vader to end things off here.
Yeah, he was. You know what? He was surprisingly a big teddy bear. It's funny you mentioned that first match. That was his first singles match coming to the WWF at the time. He debuted at the Royal Rumble the night before. Funny thing is, going over the match before then, he said, you know, pretty much, I'll grab you, I'll headbutt you, and then throw you out of the ring and get you out of the way. And I said, that's fine. And he hit that first headbutt and just, I saw stars. I mean, to the point where I chipped my tooth.
Really?
And I was thinking I should be flat on my back right now, but I had hair at the time. So he's holding me up by the hair and I had nowhere to go. And then he just hit me with another one and threw me out of the ring. And I was laying there, and Savio Vega was on the outside, and he goes to me, he says, are you all right, kid? I said, yeah, I think so. He says, just stay here, don't worry about it. He came afterwards and apologized. He says, I think I hit you a little too hard. I said, you know, that's okay. You know, back in the day, you don't say anything. But, I enjoyed it. I thought he was really nice.
Lance, did you cross paths?
I never met him, no. I was just a big fan of his work.
Just simply because of it. I mean, obviously a big man. Would you consider him the greatest big man the industry has ever seen?
I'll put him in the conversation. I don't like picking one.
Right.
But I've always liked believable wrestling, that it's easy to suspend my disbelief, and it's like Vader brought that.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, both of you, for being on the show today. Jimmy, people can see you on Aftermath, and where can they follow you?
At Jimmy Corderas on Twitter, if you dare, and of course, Facebook. You can find me at former WWE referee Jimmy Corderas.
You got it. And Lance, you like people who work stiff and the suspension of disbelief. You can teach that as well. Where can people find you?
I don't teach being stiff, but you can find me on Twitter at Lance Storm, and Storm Wrestling Academy is on Instagram.
You got it. Oh, Lance, one last question. Just something I heard this week. Rey Mysterio back with the WWE, or at least talking to them, and apparently his son Dominic is training Are the rumors true? Is Dominic headed to Storm Wrestling?
Yeah, he'll be up here in the fall. Ray reached out to me a little while ago. He'll be coming up in September.
Amazing. All right, a second-generation star there. Well, thank you both for being on the show. Really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Jay.
Lance Storm, Jimmy Corderas, the all-Canadian triple threat right here on the Canada Day edition of Sunday night's main event. Still to come, of course, Dave Meltzer in our next hour and turnbuckle trivia. Stick with us. Lots more to come. Sunday night's main event, TSN Radio.
Friday nights is when all hell breaks loose as Major League Wrestling Fusion takes over BN Sports. Watch as some of the biggest stars in the sport, like MVP, Loki, Filthy Tom Lawler, Jimmy Havoc, Barrington Hughes, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, and many more battle it out for championship gold to truly prove who is the best of the best. Major League Wrestling Fusion, BN Sports.
Contact your local cable provider and get BN Sports today.
Here's the thing, Shania. Have you seen Braun Strowman? The guy is seven feet tall, like 500 pounds, maybe more. Now you're asking me to beat him? Come on. Shania, seriously, I've been doing pretty well. I represent Canada as good as I can. I've won so many championships. That's got to be worth something, right?
Well, this is the song he wanted to hear, but she didn't play it for him. That's a clip of Kevin Owens, who went to see Shania Twain in Montreal this week and ended up on stage with her. If you want to see the whole clip, it's very funny to wrestling fans. Shania had, much like the man backstage at Raw this week, Shania had no idea who Kevin Owens was either, but let him up on stage, and they did a bit there that Shania followed along with. Did not play this song, though. Shania Twain has actually tweeted this out, this whole clip, so if you just follow her on Twitter, you can find it. It was amusing. I just wanted to play it. But now, hey, we got a lot of phone calls that happened during that Triple Threat segment, so let's get into it, and let's start things off here with Paul from New Jersey, who's on the line. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Hey, Jay. Glad to hear you again. Just real quick before I get to what I was going to say, you know, everything that happened with the law, I stopped watching wrestling after all that happened, and I'm solely back to watching wrestling just because of this show, so I can participate and, you know, donate. I think everybody should, so thank you.
Well, thank you for finding the show, Paul. I know it's been a bit. I took some time off. I had to find a new home, but we found a new home. Very happy here on TSN 1150 and MLW now, so thank you for finding me again and listening live and calling in. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I love the law, and I'm going to spread the word about this new show, and I think everybody listening should donate, speak with your wallet, because that's how stuff gets done.
But, it's a new era. It's a new way of doing things. Anyway, what's on your mind tonight that's not just kissing up to me about this new show?
Yeah, I'll stop marking out. But the whole MSG thing, just being back to wrestling, I'm kind of curious as to why. I mean, I understand the WWE and Madison Square Garden have had a very long relationship, but when I look at, like, you know, the last couple of years, it kind of seems like the Brooklyn Barclays Center has been the do pretty girl for WWE. Like,
yep.
They do SummerSlam every year. That's their second biggest show. They do a lot of stuff there in Philly. I'm kind of curious as to why MSG didn't just say, hey, you know what? We might give these guys a chance. It seems like you're going to our competition a lot. Why don't you provide us something to replace this ROH show? I guess they were too nervous to maybe want to screw with that relationship.
Well, we'll see what happens here. This isn't done yet. I didn't have a chance to get into it last week on the show, but you can be pretty sure that Sinclair, which is the parent company of Ring of Honor, is going to be getting their lawyers involved and see what's happening here with WWE putting up a... I'm not going to say a roadblock, but maybe a speed bump for Ring of Honor getting in there. Expect lawyers to be involved. But I kind of agree with you. It's just a matter of WWE wanting to control everything. I mean, they want the mistress, but they want the wife to just stay home and be there for them in case they want to change the scenery. There may have been something done. We don't know yet. Maybe more house shows are going in there. Maybe WWE's promised TV if MSG deflected Ring of Honor. We'll see what happens. But I've just put into my own brain Cody Rhodes versus Daniel Bryan at Ring of Honor next WrestleMania. But that's just me daydreaming. Thank you very much for the call, Paul. Let's continue on here. Troy is on the line from Toronto. Troy, what's up? Troy? Well, Troy was there. All right, we're going to go to Jake all the way from Chicago. Hi, Jake.
Jay, thanks for taking my call, man. And let me just say, as an American, happy Canada Day to you guys. For me, as an American, I'm really grateful about the special relationship between our two countries, unlike some of our elected officials.
I know, right? There's no tariffs for your phone calls on this show.
I appreciate it. I agree with Paul. Everybody should donate to the show. So, but anyway, I just want to get a quick preview about Saturday night's New Japan's show at the Cow Palace.
Yeah, are you excited for this?
I am a little bummed that, I understand Jericho won't be able to make it, with understandable reasons, but I'm kind of a little surprised that Mysterio is not on this card, because he has a desire to wrestle more for New Japan. And then he had a thing with kind of like a preview with Marty Scurll,
mm-hmm.
or Jushin Liger and Will Ospreay. So one of those one of those three. So I'm kind of surprised that he wasn't on this card. So.
Well, Jake, I mean, you have heard that Rey Mysterio is talking to WWE, and they're talking about some sort of 3-year deal. I believe I talked about that last week in the news pack, where it was Rey Mysterio Day in San Diego, and he mentioned that. So, you know, Jericho's got a great relationship with New Japan, but he's also got a good relationship with WWE under the parameter of, hey, I'm not going to wrestle in North America for anyone outside of WWE, and I wouldn't be surprised if Rey is ducking out here. So he stays in the good books of WWE.
Yeah, but I am looking forward to the main event, Kenny Omega and Cody for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. And I was just actually looking back to your best of 2017 list, and I was really in awe that you picked Kenny Omega as the best wrestler for last year. And yeah, and this guy is I agree with everybody, the total package. And I don't know if this is a fair statement, Jay, but he kind of, looking at him visually, he kind of reminds me a little bit of Brian Pillman.
Yeah, as you were saying, he reminds me of, I was like, okay, who's Jake going to say? And I get it. I think it's part of the hair. I mean, Pillman had a little bit more blonde to his hair, I think, but I think he got that crazy curly hair. And, I just look at Kenny Omega, and I love what guys are doing outside of WWE and outside of the machine, right? And you see that with Kenny, you see that with Cody, and you see that to a degree as well with Chris Jericho just doing his own thing. And I love to see it because I think it brings excitement and brings something else to the table, because WWE is just serving up one thing. A lot of that one thing. Actually, wait a minute. That's wrong. Because under the WWE umbrella, we also have the world of NXT. We will now have NXT UK, which I will talk about a little bit later in the show as well, because we just saw the NXT or WWE UK tournament. So there are little bits of different samples you can get from WWE, but I just love the fact that there's a place for guys to go outside of WWE. And what Kenny's doing right now, you know, that's why I brought up Kenny Omega to both Lance Storm and Jimmy Corderas. Like, where does he fall in wrestling history as far as great Canadian wrestlers go? Does he need that WWE run to really be thrown into the mix of all the Bret Hart, Edge, Chris Jericho, and all those great Canadians that we talk about? So Lance just said, give him more time, see where he ends up. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back on the other side, second hour. It's going to start with Dave Meltzer. He's back this week. Turnbuckle trivia as well. More of your phone calls and a surprise announcement of who's going to be on this show next week. I'm excited and I'm already cringing. Controversy to happen right here next week. Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
If you're a fan of Sunday night's main event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991. And so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today. WrestlingObserver.com.
It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
And we are back to, it is the second hour of Sunday night's main event. And back this week is a gentleman we talked to pretty much every week at this time. It is Dave Meltzer. Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Dave, it was a bit of a surprise this week. I want to start with Ring of Honor because I think a lot of people walked into the pay-per-view on Friday night thinking that there would be a new world champ. But in actuality, there wasn't. And then at the TV tapings, it did happen, except it was Jay Lethal. Was this the long-term plan or just come out of nowhere because they wanted to surprise people watching the pay-per-view and not do the obvious swap?
I don't know what the thing is. My gut is, I mean, my feeling is that they figured everybody was thinking Cody would win.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have Cody win, and then they did the championship match, making everyone think Cody would win, and he didn't win again. And I don't think that anyone saw Jay Lethal coming. So it's just, you know, I think that he probably, if they're going to go with Cody, I think that they don't want to do it yet. Maybe make him chase it a little bit longer, but they had to get it off Dalton Castle because he's so hurt. That's why I was shocked when he won on Friday night, because it's like, you know, he could barely do anything. I felt so bad for him. And I was thinking, like, why would he win? I mean, his whole title reign's been a mess because he's been injured the whole time.
It's been really unfortunate for Dalton. I mean, here's a guy with a great character, and just once he grabs this title, it's been injury after injury for him.
Yeah, it's bad. His whole title reign has been a nothing, and, you know, they built it up for a long, long time, and he was a guy that everybody was talking about in wrestling a year ago, and now no one's talking about him because he's hurt so bad, and he really can't do much, and he has a great act, but he probably just needs to rest for a long time. He seems to have a lot of, you know, wrestling's not going to make him better.
No. Well, I don't think wrestling makes anybody better when they have the nagging injuries just build up, and these are much more than nagging injuries for Dalton.
Nerve damage and stuff here, and displaced hip, and it's a broken back. I mean, it's serious injuries.
Yep. So looking forward to, of course, I think everyone's looking forward to and working backwards from All In with Cody chasing this title. Lethal's quite a surprise because for ROH, it's almost like a step back here. This title's got to get to Cody before All In, though, right?
I think so. I think the title meant the most it's meant in years with Cody. I think they probably wanted to take it away from him for a little while just to do something different. And really, I think they did it to get Dalton over, you know, really go big with Dalton. And it just didn't work out. And now, I feel it should be back with Cody for strongly. But my gut is I think they don't want to make it predictable. So it's probably going to happen when we least expect it, which actually could have been yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The NXT UK tournament happened this week. What did you think of the two nights back-to-back?
The first night was good. The second night was real good. I mean, they were, you know, they had great crowds and several really strong matches. So atmosphere was really good. I mean, I think the stars were... the Undisputed Era and Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate and Trent Seven, both in the six-man and then in the tag team title match in the Pete Dunne-Zach Gibson match.
It really did seem to put the emphasis on those guys, though, as opposed to the actual tournament. The tournament seemed like a bit of a background to the event.
More to build up some of the matches. The tournament was okay. I didn't really get the idea that there was a lot of... I mean, put it this way. I thought the tournament that they did last year, which I thought the second day was great and the first day was so-so, was still well ahead of this year because you had higher quality guys last year than this year.
So it's the NXT UK brand. Were you surprised that it's NXT UK as opposed to WWE UK?
It's their marketing thing. I guess they're trying to get that over. But yeah, I was really surprised because you would just think WWE has 30 years plus, you know, almost 34 years of history, 33 years of history in that market. And the NXT is a very secondary brand. I get what they're doing, but it did surprise me, yes.
Is it a territory system, Dave? Because to me, seeming as though they have NXT in North America, NXT UK, and I think you're still going to have, obviously, WWE Tour of the World. So to me, it feels like Triple H is placing NXT territories all over the world to then be able to feed his WWE brand.
Theoretically, I think that that's the idea. How much they're going to commit to it, I don't know, because the reality is this whole, you know, these people were still only signed for short-term deals, and they have out clauses at 4 months and 8 months, so I'm still not sure that this is not something just to keep talent away from ITV. If ITV goes away, I'm not saying it'll go away, but it won't become much of a priority. Right now, every move that's made, you know, has to do with ITV. ITV is starting its wrestling show July 21st, so all of a sudden now they're serious and now they're doing a show. You know, it's to me it's really obvious. So, I mean, the whole thing is to head off a lot of guys going to ITV, which would mean that they wouldn't be going to WWE, and more so the idea that, you know, ITV, a wrestling show might hit a million, million and a half people, and, you know, Raw and SmackDown is, you know, 50,000, 25,000, those type of numbers. It's a world of difference, and, you know, in their number, you know, the number two market for WWE is the UK. So mm-hmm. It's like you don't want to give up your number two market. They're going to fight for their number two market.
Do they have any broadcaster in line aside from WWE Network for NXT UK yet?
That's a really good question. I don't know. They certainly didn't announce it when they announced the show.
No.
You know, I mean, I know they've been talking to people, but I don't know where that's gone. I mean, at one point I thought they would, you know, the marriage that made the most sense was ITV, but that certainly didn't happen.
No. Looking forward a couple of weeks, we have Extreme Rules coming up. Obviously, the big multi-man match is no longer. I guess let's just fast forward through this and ask the big question. Brock Lesnar, this week it broke that Brock may not be a part of SummerSlam. At the moment, what's the development here? Is he booked on SummerSlam?
At the moment, he's not, but he's not booked either.
Okay.
People close to the situation believe he's going to be working SummerSlam. I mean, the stuff that he's not working SummerSlam and these reasons, I don't put any stock in that at all because, I mean, Vince has him for one more date and he's just trying to figure out what it is. And right now it's likely to be SummerSlam. SummerSlam makes the most sense, but he hasn't committed to it yet. I mean, when I said, like, is there any truth to the stories that it won't be SummerSlam? And I was told absolutely not.
Hmm.
Like, they still believe it's SummerSlam. But whatever, you know, I mean, you would think by this point in time Vince would have already locked it in, and he hasn't. So that is different. But, you know, Vince does a lot of things, you know, right now, you know, on the spur of the moment, and he's not so predictable. So I have no idea what they're going to do, really.
The obvious follow-up question here is, of course, is Brock back in the USADA testing pool?
As of yesterday, as of Friday morning, no. And we were running out of time, but I don't know as of Friday night. You know, I mean, Friday was the day. Right now, I'm going on the assumption that no matter, even though he may only have one date left on his contract, he's probably going to renew because he isn't not staying with WWE unless he's going to UFC.
This is
and at 41. I mean, he's not 41 yet, but he's going to be 41 in like 2 weeks. I don't know how serious he really is about fighting. I know he's serious about using fighting as leverage to get the best deal with WWE as possible, but is he really serious about fighting itself? You know, and like I said, unless he does so, I don't believe so.
So let's explain why Friday was the day for USADA. This factors into he has to be in the testing pool for 6 months before he can fight, and that would be the math to do a fight at the end of the year with UFC, correct?
December 29th show, which is the show that they wanted him to come back in. So if he's not in the testing pool as of this moment, he is not on that December show. Sure, they can move it to January or February, but that makes, I mean, they could, but it's like with all this leeway and everything like this, the idea that he wouldn't submit, to me, tells me that he doesn't want to be drug tested. I mean, I look at him and I think he's getting ready for a drug test. I've been thinking that for months.
Yeah. You can,
you know,
definitely,
I mean,
see that.
You go, like, he's getting ready for drug testing, but, you know, so you know, you would think that, like, he would have Friday would be the day, you know, because there's no point in going any earlier than Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't know. Maybe he did submit on Friday, but I certainly haven't heard that.
Daniel Cormier versus Stipe Miocic is on Saturday coming up. You think Brock shows up to make this, to really work this leverage?
I know it has been talked about. Whether it happens or not, it's Brock. You know, it's Brock, so unpredictable. I can only say it's been talked about. Do I think? I think, particularly, I think if he's truly going back, he probably would. And even if his, even if he's not, one would think he probably would. I mean, it makes sense because if you remember the last time his contract was due, he showed up at a UFC to get everyone talking. I mean, that's just his MO.
Yeah.
So, it would make sense. Put it this way: if he's doing it, it's being kept a complete secret. But logically, with Brock, it is something that would make sense to do. Either way,
Nakamura got bit by a dog this week. This is one of the most bizarre stories that I've seen in quite a while in the world of wrestling. And bit by a dog so bad that not only could he not work the match with Hardy on SmackDown, in Japan he was unable to do the house shows. Any word on how actually serious this is, Dave? Because I was surprised that he wasn't able to do the Japan shows and was still on crutches.
Yeah. He says 2 more weeks. And it's not that serious, but that's what he said this weekend. He said 2 more weeks.
So, looking good for the match versus Hardy at Extreme Rules?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's the plan, yeah.
We didn't get to chat with you last week, and last week is when the news of Cass being let go very abruptly by the WWE happened, and he was not wished his best in his future endeavors. This was just a culmination of things with Cass. I mean, after the fallout, we've had a week now. I haven't heard much in the past week, but it wasn't any one particular incident, correct? Just a guy with a bad attitude?
Yeah. I mean, I think the incident where with the Daniel Bryan little guy,
mm-hmm.
you know, when he defied Vince's orders on live television, that probably would be, if I'm going to pick number one based on everything I've heard, that's probably number one. You know, his behavior on the European tour didn't help him. Since he came back, I think there's been frustration since he came back. He hasn't performed at the level that they hoped for him. But, you know, still, that's, you know, not performing a couple weeks after, you know, coming back from knee surgery is usually not a firing offense, but the behavior and, you know, just the overall behavior, I think, and numerous incidents all added up. But, yeah, the fact that they didn't wish him well in his future endeavors, I mean, that tells you that they were very unhappy with this.
Do you see Cass floating around to, is it even worthwhile going to Ring of Honor? Like, would they show interest there? Or, I mean, Impact, I guess? He seems unproven without having Enzo beside him, though.
That's up to him. You know, I mean, the problem is that I don't see him making the money. But then again, he was in NXT for years, and he could make a lot more than he made in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's, like, expecting to make, like, big money, I think there's not going to be a lot of opportunity for him. I think that he's going to definitely get, be able to make some money. You know, I mean, decently good money at first on the indie scene. And then after that, it's up to him. I mean, if he performs at a high level, he can turn everything around and get back there or be a star somewhere else. I mean, if he goes on the indie scene and he's having great matches and wins people over, yeah, I could see Impact or Ring of Honor wanting him. And they still may want him. If I'm like Ring of Honor, I'm kind of skeptical on him. I don't think he fits. I wouldn't close my mind to it, but I would kind of like want to sit back and see like what he does elsewhere, because if he doesn't do much elsewhere, I wouldn't really want to bring him in. And but you know, again, like, would Impact jump on him quicker? I just don't know if he means much.
Mm-hmm.
He does have a name from WWE. You can't take that away. If he was with Enzo together, they would mean more. But a lot of people don't want to touch Enzo.
Right.
There are people who do, but I don't think any big promotions do right now.
I just love that in the same breath you said Cass and having great matches.
Yeah.
And I don't see that happening.
Well, if he's not such a big superstar that bringing a guy in and paying him big money to not have good matches is going to pay off in the long run.
Madison Square Garden, Ring of Honor was supposed to run a show there. We didn't get the chance to talk about this last week. There was a discussion between MSG and WWE, and now ROH will no longer be running a show, at least at the moment. There was legal talk thrown out. Any update on this situation?
No, as far as I know, no lawsuit's been filed. I'm hearing that there's legal work being worked on, so we'll see. There's a lot of issues going on with ROH and WWE, you know, and Sinclair. You know, there's just a lot of stuff going on right now. How it all turns out, I mean, it's not going to happen. I don't think anything's going to happen, like, right away, but long-term. You know, I mean, it's like you got to remember that Sinclair owns 54 Fox Station.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like the key to this, you know, a key to this story. So WWE can't get on their bad side and not have it resolved by October of next year, or it could be a disaster.
And finally, and this is probably the biggest story that we're going to talk about, the National Labor Relations Board has ruled that the claims by Leslie Smith have merit, and they're going to be filing a claim against UFC. This has huge ramifications behind it about the independent contractor agreement, because if Leslie Smith wins this and MMA fighters or UFC fighters are ruled employees, it's a no-brainer that WWE wrestlers are as well.
Yeah. That actually, that story, it's, there's kind of been a holdup.
Oh.
You know, so it's like they're still, they ruled, and then a couple hours later they have to send it to another committee, which is going to slow it down. But eventually, still, there will be a ruling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may not be as quick as we first thought on Friday, but eventually there probably will be. And if, in fact, they do rule their employees, yes. It's a no-brainer that wrestlers would have to be, because, or WWE wrestlers. I mean, I don't think, honestly, I don't believe that Impact wrestlers would be, and Ring of Honor wrestlers wouldn't, because they're allowed to work other dates. I mean, there's limitations of other dates they can work, but they can work other dates. With WWE, I mean, these guys, like, if New Japan were to offer, you know, $15,000 for one match for, you know, John Cena or Undertaker or whatever, they can't take it, you know. I mean, so, or even $100,000 for that matter. They can't take it. So,
and it's not just that, Dave. I mean, it's the governing of schedules. It's being told what to do. It's winning and losing matches. Like, their whole lives are completely controlled by the WWE. They have been employees forever and a day, just not recognized as so.
I mean, full-time, I mean, certainly since 84, and realistically, I think that most of the guys, even in the territorial era, I mean, the only true independent contractors were your Ernie Ladds or Andre the Giant, and even Andre was kind of controlled by Vince, but
mm-hmm.
the guys who really, you know, Dusty Rhodes pretty much was. But most of the guys weren't in that era, and they're controlled far more now than they were then. So, yeah, since 84, it's been absolutely employees. How it's managed to go 34 years without this being reclassified, I mean, at the beginning, I could get it because it was like wrestling is so under the radar, you know, where nobody ever talked about it. But now, when you have, like, real publicity and things like this, and it still hasn't changed, I mean, it blows my mind that this is, that, you know, they just signed, you know, a television contract that's, you know, worth well over $2 billion over 5 years, and these guys are still paying their own hotels and rent-a-cars and meals on the road.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, with that contract being signed now, it's a time where this can happen, where they can restructure, where they can be considered employees, and it's not going to dent the armor of WWE.
No, the only reason they haven't done this is because they don't want to do it. They absolutely can. They can afford to do
it.
I mean, it's like you can't, like, in the 90s, Vince could cry poverty,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there would be something to that. You can't do that now.
No.
You know, you can't, there's no excuse not to do that other than we just don't want to do it. And, I mean, you can't say, well, you know, what if things get bad? That money is guaranteed. They can. That's the thing. For the next 5 years, they can collapse. They could do the worst TV, and they're not going to. They could do the worst TV, worse than WCW. They could run people off to where nobody goes to house shows anymore, and they're still getting $2.3 billion over the next 5 years. So it's like until 2024, you know, the end of 2024, I mean, these guys are swimming in money. They can't lose money, and they can afford anything. And in 2024, you know, I mean, based on all of history, they're probably going to get more, not less.
Ooh. All righty. Well, we shall keep following that storyline. That is very interesting. And, Dave, what is coming up in The Observer this week?
You know, the coverage of the New Japan and Ring of Honor show, the WWE stuff coming up. interview with Howard May, the head of New Japan, the Matt Capitelli.
Matt Capitelli. Story. We have a bio on him this week in career history?
Yeah, we have a bio on Matt Capitelli this week, which is a tragic story,
Great. I had Lance on in the first hour, and he gave some pretty good insight into the character that Matt Capitelli was.
Yeah, he knew him. He knew him real well. He knew him far better than I did. Yeah,
great. Well, we look forward to that, and we'll be chatting with you next week, right here.
Okay, have a great week.
You too, Dave Meltzer. WrestlingObserver.com is where you can find all of his fine work. Podcasts with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi, as well, all have been guests here on the show. They are all great. Go and check them out. We're going to take a break. Come on back. Hey, it's Turnbuckle Trivia time, and it's an all-Canadian edition. And I mean that for the questions and the players, actually. It is Sunday night's main event. It's TSN Radio.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event with Jason Agnew.
I have my life back. I am back where I belong.
Somewhere I belong.
On TSN Radio.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday Night's Main Event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they stay there.
Alrighty, it is Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday Night's Main Event. Once again, we're going to have two players competing for a t-shirt from your best stop online for wrestling t-shirts. It's ProWrestlingTees.com. And if you want to play Turnbuckle Trivia, all you've got to do is hit up SundayNightsMainEvent.com and join the patron at the Turnbuckle Trivia level. So on the line today are two competitors making a comeback. It's his second time playing because we've made the loop of patrons, and that is Brody from Aurelia. Hi, Brody. How you doing?
Well, not bad, Jay. Hopefully it ain't 0-2 after today.
Yeah, well, we're playing a different game this time around, so we shall. So what did you have the first time, Brody?
I did Rhyme Time.
Rhyme Time. All right. Well, it's straight up trivia today. Hopefully you do well. Your opponent trying to put a stop to that, though, is Matt from Oshawa. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing great, thanks.
All right, guys, it's Canada Day, so I've done Canadian wrestling trivia. No steals in this game, just 5 questions each, and whoever does better gets the win. So, Brody, we're going to go with you first, and here is your question. Before Iron Mike Sharp did so, what Edmonton-born professional wrestler billed himself as Canada's greatest athlete? I'm going classic on this one, Brody. Do you have a guess?
I'm the wrong guy to ask. Classic. No idea.
It is Gene Kaniski. Right now, the mouth is screaming and listening.
Oh,
right
probably.
Now. Oh, yeah. Don't even need a microphone with that guy. But, yeah, that's definitely from way back in the era there. All right. Moving along, a little bit more contemporary here for you, Matt. The very first WWF Intercontinental Champion was a Canadian. It was Pat Patterson. He fictionally won the title in 1979. This title would not be held again by another Canadian till August 26 in 1991. Who won it?
91, I'll say Bret Hart.
That is correct, Matt. Very good. Kind of process of elimination there because he was so hot at the time coming on up. All right, 1-0. Brody, we're getting more contemporary here for you. The U.S. Oh, not really, actually. Sorry, that comes later. Oops. Brody, the U.S. Championship traces its roots back to Harley Race in 1975. It would first be held by a Canadian-born wrestler in 1981. Who won the title in 81? That was a Canadian winning the U.S. Championship. Brody.
I think you're going out of your way to embarrass me on your trivia show.
I feel bad.
I'll pass.
He's going to pass on it. Roddy Piper. Roddy Piper got that one.
Yep.
All right, going over to you, Matt. Now, although he spent the majority of his career hailing from Scotland, that was a kayfabe home, Roddy Piper is actually Canadian. In what province was he born?
Manitoba?
It was not. It was next door. It was Saskatchewan. He was born in Saskatoon. Brody, contemporary here for this one, okay?
Okay.
In the exact opposite of Roddy Piper, Chris Jericho was not actually born in Canada. In what state was he born?
New York.
That's correct. Reason being, his father, Ted, played for the New York Rangers, so he was born in Manhasset, New York. Very good. You're on the board. You're tied, actually. Matt, over to you. Trish Stratus is undoubtedly the most prominent female wrestler that Canada has ever produced. Stratus debuted in the WWE in 2000 as the manager of what team?
TNA,
that's correct. Test and Albert. And back to you, Brody. 2-1 right now. Lance Storm, had to mention him here. He won the U.S. title in WCW in 2000. He renamed it the Canadian Championship. He also won the hardcore title at that same time. Your question, Brody, is what did he rename the hardcore title?
I'll go with the...
Do you remember this, Brody?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. This was a... It's quite funny. You can take a guess.
I was going to guess something along the lines of Alberta, but carry on.
It was the Saskatchewan Hardcore International title. You know what the acronym would be, and that's why they called it that. Actually, he was proposed to call it the Stu Hart International title, and Lance said, not going to happen, not insulting Stu. So they renamed it that. Matt, over to you. If you get this, you do win. Who was the first Canadian to hold the Ring of Honor World Championship, Matt?
Do not know.
It was Kevin Steen, and it happened on May 12, 2012. Brody keeps you in the game here. You do have to get this. Very contemporary, okay? Roman Reigns is not Canadian, but he did play one season in the Canadian Football League. For what team did he play, Brody? You got like a
guess.
A one in eight chance here.
I'm going to go with the Rough Riders.
Well, if that had been a long time ago, it would have been a 2-8 chance. Correct answer is actually the Edmonton Eskimos for that one. And that is a 2-1 win for Matt. Matt, congratulations. Thank you for playing the game. Brody, this is going to turn back around.
I hope so. When you asked that Kevin Steen question, I was shaking in my boots.
Oh, because you knew that
I had
one?
It.
Well, sorry, my friend. Unfortunately, not a win for you today. Matt, hold on the line. I will get in touch with you and get you details after this segment. But, guys, thank you both for playing the game. My goodness, and in this case, oh Canada, thanks to both of our players today. If you'd like your chance to win a t-shirt, just hit up sundaynightsmainevent.com, and you too can win a t-shirt from our good friends at prowrestlingtees.com if you become a patron. It's as easy as that on the crowdfunded Sunday Night's Main Event. We are taking a break, and we're coming on back with lots more right here, whether you're listening on TSN Radio or the MLW Radio Network.
What do Ring of Honor, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and Lucha Underground all have in common?
They're all booked better than WWE?
Well, yes, but the answer I was looking for is that they all sell merch at ProWrestlingTees.com. From Okada to Omega, CM Punk to Dalton Castle, and what better way to show off that you enjoy a good super kick party than by having it written on your chest? The best selection of wrestling merch anywhere is at ProWrestlingTees.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to be here tonight. Many a year has gone by since I last wrestled here. But I'm very proud and privileged to be here tonight to announce the commencement of the NXT UK brand.
But that is Johnny Saint, the GM of NXT UK, making the announcement on the NXT UK tournament that happened this week. I was kind of surprised that WWE put it on Monday and Tuesday in the afternoon. when those are the two big nights for Raw and SmackDown. Regardless, I did watch both events. There is a podcast up at SundayNightsMainEvent.com for patrons. If you haven't seen it yet, check it out. And if you haven't seen the tournament, there's a few good things in the tournament. I mean, match night number one, not actually the tournament. This is what I was talking about with Dave, but rather the other matches that surrounded the tournament, like British Strong Style versus Undisputed, is the match that I've been talking about and waiting for, and I thought should have been a part of NXT instead of sliding Oney Lorcan in there with Danny Burch. I wanted Mustache Mountain in that spot. And then the next night, Mustache Mountain winning the titles, which, okay, we know they're going to be flipped back. But the pure surprise that night of those titles changing hands was pretty great to see as well. The crowd went bananas. I really like Flash Morgan Webster. He's who I'm coming away from the tournament with. I want to see more of this guy. I think he's got a lot of character. And he's just a well put together character and fun in the ring as well. I think in the tournament, and I said a lot of this on the podcast, but obviously the big fan favorite over there is going to be Pete Dunne. This guy is incredible. He should be on the main roster. He's absolutely insanely good, beyond, well beyond his young age that you'd never guess he was that young. And then positioning Zach Gibson against him, I didn't really care for the Zach Gibson run. I will say this, though. I think that the entire tournament was booked very well, with the submission hold being used all through the tournament. The Shankly Gates, I think it was, being used all through the tournament and then teasing it at the end. It was a well-booked tournament. It was well put together. And they were good cards. I was just surprised they did Monday and Tuesday. So for more of that, for all of my review, I did about an hour after watching the two nights, and you can check that out at SundayNightsMainEvent.com. The podcast is up there for patrons. A few more things from WWE TV this week. By the way, if you want to get in and you're listening live right now, we've got a couple blocks to take your phone calls. If you're up late with me, let's chat. 1-866-729-2562. 1-866-729-2562. That number is also up at SundayNightsMainEvent.com. One thing that really threw me on Monday night was the fact that we had Roman Reigns out there with Bobby Lashley, and they did the same song and dance they essentially did last week, with The Revival getting the win. And I did like the thought process of the caller who called in earlier that said maybe The Revival's just going to hang on to this and keep saying, hey, we beat Lashley and Reigns, we are the best. And if they just hang on to that, that would be amazing. Keep bragging about it. I would love that. But in regards to Reigns, the crowd's tired of this guy. We know that. And then he's brought into another angle. He does the run-in to save Seth Rollins. Is there no one else? I know Dean's hurt still. Does it have to be a Shield member? I mean, it's bad enough we got Reigns in one angle, but now too. I mean, it would have been interesting to see Rollins, Ziggler, and McIntyre just left alone, and then Rollins won the title back. Like, what if Rollins won the title back on Monday? He won it from Ziggler, like McIntyre screwed up, and then McIntyre wrestled Rollins and won. And then Ziggler's jealous, and then we get a three-way program. Because right now, I'm not seeing what good is coming of Ziggler and McIntyre when they've been put together, but they're not challenging for the tag titles because the tag titles have been made into a complete joke because we've got Bo Dallas doing an imitation of his brother constantly. And that's the tag team that they're focusing on instead of these two guys who were put together in what seemed to be a Cesaro and Sheamus style tag team. But at the moment, I don't see either one of them benefiting from this. Tomorrow night on Raw, one thing I didn't touch on with Lance and Jimmy is the fact that this whole Bayley turn, maybe the turn that happened, is going to be complemented tomorrow night on Raw with what is going to be, let me go out on a limb and make a bold prediction here, that this could be one of the worst segments of the year. They're both going to therapy. Yeah, if you didn't hear, Angle told Bayley that she has to go to therapy, and that will be happening tomorrow. We'll get vignettes. And then on Twitter, Angle tweeted out saying, Sasha also has to go to therapy. So, hey, considering on SmackDown, we saw Team Hell No hug it out and reunite, maybe Dr. Shelby. Paging Dr. Shelby for tomorrow night on Raw. Speaking of Team Hell No, why the hell is Kane back? Shouldn't he still be campaigning for mayor? To me, this is such a holdover on SmackDown of Daniel Bryan. Everyone is just hungering for Miz and Daniel Bryan. And maybe that's the intention here. Maybe it's a matter of Miz, because, you know, at the beginning of the episode, you had the Bludgeon Brothers on Miz TV, which was horrendous because they don't talk. But maybe you're going to have Miz continually somehow putting people in front of him over and over again. And like, you know, poking Daniel Bryan to entice Daniel Bryan to get into matches with other people so he doesn't get into that match with The Miz. I could actually see this working because you have him lined up against the Bludgeon Brothers now and Kane shows up. I don't really think there was a need for Kane. Is there ever a need for Kane anymore? But I could very well see that happening and just continually playing off Miz. It'll be interesting to see how long the WWE can hold off on this Miz feud. Is it SummerSlam? Because that's quick. Is it Royal Rumble? That kind of seems like an awkward pay-per-view to do it at, unless you're going to do match number one at Royal Rumble and then somehow hold up and get these two to Mania. But I can't see the WWE having that patience. I can't see that. And although I hated the Miz TV segment with the Bludgeon Brothers and what's going on there, also on SmackDown this week, they ran into the unfortunate circumstance of Nakamura falling victim to a dog and getting bit. So he's injured. So the open challenge thing happens. And I'm sitting there. I actually paused my PVR and looked at the SmackDown roster and was like, who are they going to pick here? Because if you put in a, like, Samoa Joe was the first name that popped into my head. But I'm like, U.S. title. You don't want Joe there. And if he's in there with Hardy, Joe should just throw him around and destroy him. Like Joe does. I love Joe. So instead, you get Eric Young. And I actually thought it was a really nice choice. It was a fresh matchup. And so few things are fresh. And I was having a good time with this match. And then the Usos interfere. And then I'm thinking, all right, well, we can then get the Usos and Hardy versus Sanity next week. No, we got it back to back. I know the match would have been the same as next week, but I just wanted the break. I just wanted the break. And maybe if they didn't put the Usos and Hardy versus Sanity on this week, they might have had time so we could have finally seen Almas versus Sin Cara. Remember Andrade seeing Almas? Remember him? This is just an absolute example, just a perfect example of WWE bringing someone up to the main roster that is on fire. Almas, the act is amazing right now. So what do? You bring Almas up, and there's a tweet this week that I saw. He's brought up on April the 17th. He's drafted to SmackDown. April 24th, no match. May 1st, no match. May 8th, no match. May 15th, he gets in the ring, faces a jobber. May 22nd, faces a jobber. May 29th, no match. June 5th, no match. June 12th, no match. June 19th, no match. June 26th, no match. 11 weeks. 11 weeks for Andrade Cien Almas to be sitting on the SmackDown roster and not get into a program. To get into a program, but have no culmination to the program. What the hell are they waiting for? Seriously, there is so much time on WWE TV and they can't find a spot for Almas to finally kick into gear? This guy is great. For the considering how he walked in to NXT as the lost Barriqua, lost Barriqua because he looked like a joke to what he's evolved into now with Zelina Vega at his side? Completely wasting this guy. Completely wasted. Kick something off. He was on fire. You got to strike while the iron is hot and every other analogy I could use. All right, that's enough ranting. Going to take a break, going to come back. Your feedback is next. I'm trying a different thing and using the Facebook group now for feedback, and it's been going really well. So we'll come back, get a few of your feedbacks in. It's Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. I'm your host, Jason Agnew. Remember, if you miss any of the show live, you can always download the podcast at SundayNightsMainEvent.com. And while you're there, please click on the link to become a patron. Patron perks include exclusive patron-only podcasts, the opportunity to be a fantasy booker, and of course, your chance to be a contestant on Turnbuckle Trivia. Sunday Night's Main Event, made for you, funded by you. Become a patron at SundayNightsMainEvent.com.
I believe it was Russo's call, essentially. I mean, there was a room where a bunch of people sort of decided it. I wasn't in that room. But when they approached me, I was like, do you guys think this is a good idea? And they were like, it's going to be great. We're going to get a lot of publicity and da-da-da. And we sure have gotten a lot of publicity for it. It's that storyline's still alive, even though the company is it.
So, do you recognize the voice and what story he was alluding to? David Arquette. David Arquette's voice. Why? Because I just talked to him. David Arquette is making his way back to professional wrestling. He's going to be wrestling on July 15th against a wrestler from Toronto named RJ City, who also works in the world of comedy here with me. And I managed to get an interview with David Arquette. And he tells me all about the situation that happened back in WCW and how this all presented itself and explains why he's making his way back to wrestling. It's an interesting interview, and I'm going to air it next week here on the show. Along with that, next week I'll also have on RJ City, who is the other half of whatever's going on with this Hollywood wrestling from California. And Todd Martin will join us next week as well to talk about the UFC card that will be happening next week, as we're on Sunday and it is happening on Saturday night. But feedback this week, it's coming from the Facebook page. And if you do want to give in feedback to the show, I'm trying to put up one of these each and every week at, just search SNME Radio, and it's a group on Facebook. I'm using a group, not a page. I don't know why. I can't even get a URL for it, but SNME Radio pops up right away. I will approve you. So Chuck writes in and says, do you think WWE is purposely stealing talent from New Japan because their wrestling product proposes a threat to WWE's product? I think WWE is stealing from anywhere they can and just offering out contracts. I mean, people don't have to go. And let's face it, if New Japan was able to poach or steal some WWE people, Daniel Bryan, they would do that as well. I'm not thinking that it's a threat yet, but it's on their radar. And as Triple H tries to spread this NXT brand, I don't think it's all coincidence that there's all of a sudden a deal with Noah in place, some sort of working relationship there. David writes in and says, do you think NXT UK will work as a series on the network long term? David, what I can see happening here is territories and trying to put NXT territories all over the world and then using them as a feeder system in order to feed. Maybe the NXT champion is going on all of the brands and you have your individual champions from UK. Maybe if they do Mexico or North America, like what, there's already a North American champion. That's actually one of the reasons why this kind of popped into my brain. And now there's a UK champion as well. So maybe something like that, a new territory system, but all WWE. Mark writes in and says, could WWE be building up to an Ascension versus Authors of Pain showdown? Mark, are you a crazy person? Are you insane? Building up to that? I mean, maybe. I think maybe your question, instead of could, you should say, should WWE be building up to an Ascension versus Authors of Pain showdown? And the answer is no. No, they shouldn't. The tag team belts right now are a joke anyway on Wyatt and Hardy, and they're feuding with the B team. They got to get back on track. One of the ways to go would be to use the Ziggler and McIntyre team and the Authors of Pain again, like Almas, a good act, an act that improved dramatically in NXT, found their stride, came to the main roster, immediately lost their promo man, and then, coincidentally, they themselves got lost because they haven't even been on TV. So I don't understand what's happening. But building, the word building up to the ascension, it's building down. It's demolishing them to feud with the ascension and completely marginalizing them, Mark, if that is where they are headed. All right. I think that pretty much wraps us up this week. We are going to say goodbye. But, of course, SundayNightsMainEvent.com is where you can find everything. Sunday Night's Main Event, the podcast, is there. So go subscribe. Click on the Patreon. Next week, as I said, David Arquette here on Sunday Night's Main Event. You know, answering the question of why he's coming back. RJ City as well, Todd Martin, Dave Meltzer, all of that to come. So tune in next Sunday night, 11 p.m. on TSN Radio. And as Billy Red Lions always said, don't you dare miss it.